Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to join us tonight once again on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, television host and journalist, and again, as always, just really happy to have you here. I also see that the chat room, which makes me very happy, is starting to fill up with guests, and also our executive producer, Mar Bennett, is also in the chat room, and she's the one who will have different telephone numbers and emails and all of that good stuff for you tonight for the show. Well, we've got two guests that's going to appear tonight on At Home with Victoria. First, I actually sort of met this young lady through our friends from Sip Socialites, Eve Edmonds, as I'm a contributor, and Eve does wonderful things with different organizations in Washington, D.C., especially women that are not only very successful in their careers, but also that do a lot to give back to their community. And certainly Dr. Ivy Hancock is one of those women. And she's going to join us tonight to just basically give us some information about cosmetic dentistry. She is the CEO of Presidential Dental Group in the D.C. area. Dr. Hancock is going to join us, but I will ask Dr. Hancock if it's possible that if you have your volume up on your television or your phone, if you can turn that down so that you won't get any feedback as we have our conversation. So with that said,
sure.
I want to thank you, Dr. Hancock, so much for being here tonight. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And again, just, you know, from me to you, congratulations on your success and just all of the wonderful work that I hear through the grapevine in the D.C. area that you're doing. It's just wonderful, you know, to have people like you out there, you know, not only treating teeth and making us pretty and healthy and happy,
yes.
But also the work that you give back is important as well.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be a part of the show tonight.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to start, and I know a lot of people, we probably hear this all the time from our doctors and dentists, but why is it just important overall that our teeth are just healthy?
Well, oral health is it's vital to take care of your oral health because it's connected to your overall health. Oral health has been tied to problems with heart disease, diabetes, and so it can be much more than just how the teeth appear cosmetically. So that is something that we're passionate about, treating the total patient, not just the tooth itself. So and taking care of your health, your overall health, oral health is a very vital part of that.
And I just happen to know because my significant other is a doctor. So I'm around a lot of doctors all the time, and I always hear them talk about that they are able to tell a lot about a person's health. A lot of times when they come into their office, if they just smile and say hi, I mean, they talk about that you can just tell a lot by just looking at a person's teeth as well.
Absolutely, yes. The oral health tells a lot about the patient. A lot of the times people whose oral health has been neglected, you'll find that these patients have not seen their regular doctor in a while. So coming into our office a lot of the time needing a cleaning twice a year, we are the first person that they see. So we're able to check their blood pressure and monitor basic vitals to let them know if they have, you know, any other problems that could be pertinent. So, yeah.
And also getting into the real reason why you're here, and I think that a lot of people are tuning in tonight to listen to, it's just about the different types of services that are out there. I mean, especially, at least in my opinion and as a journalist, you know, teeth these days are a really, really big deal. I mean, everywhere you look on television, everybody's got their teeth whitened. I mean, it just seems like teeth are a really Yes,
everybody.
There's so many procedures out there. So talk about why you think it's such a big deal now.
I just think, you know, people are just into health and beauty overall. I mean, people want to feel good when they're talking and when they're smiling. They want to have that confidence. And so dentistry plays a major role in that. And so we have many procedures today that can help people feel a lot more confident about the smile if they do have oral health problems. And so I think that it's a vital part of making you feel confident.
And talk about some of those procedures.
I'm sorry?
I said if you can talk about some of those procedures.
Yes, yes. We offer a wide range of procedures at Presidential Dental Group, from laser dentistry to whitening, veneers. I mean, it goes sky high. Invisalign. I mean, you can literally change your reconstruct your entire smile, or you can just do something small like whiten your teeth. For an event or something like that. So,
and I wanted to focus specifically right now on teeth whitening. What are sort of the do's and don'ts, and what should people know or consider if in fact they're thinking about, you know, I think I want to have my teeth whitened?
I think it's important that people's expectations are managed. A lot of the time with the over-the-counter whitening products, people have an expectation that their teeth are just going to be many more shades whiter than they can be if they come into the office and have professional whitening done.
Mm-hmm.
And so laser whitening, like Zoom, for example, can have your teeth many shades whiter just in a single visit versus some of the over-the-counter products where you really don't get the result that you could be expecting.
Gotcha. So if you're really thinking that whitening is the way that you want to go, people should probably consider going to an actual dentist to have it done so that you can get those results.
Absolutely, yes. And the in-office Zoom laser whitening treatments give you that result right then and there, where the teeth are many shades whiter in office. And we usually will have the patient follow up with trays where they can apply the whitening gel at home to kind of lock those results in.
Now, once you actually have your teeth whitened, how long does that last? I mean, do you have to come back every 2 years or so many years for maintenance to have it redone?
That's the infamous question that everyone comes in and asks. It really varies on the patient and their habits at home. A lot of patients tend to drink who tend to drink red wine or who don't get in for their regular cleanings may find that they would like to do their whitening a little more often. And then other people whose diet doesn't consist of coffee or things that can stain the teeth as readily won't need the whitening as often. But typically the results will last about 9 months, 9 months to 1 year.
Okay, gotcha. Now, moving on to veneers, I always see a lot of commercials on television for veneers. Tell us exactly what veneers are.
Veneers are basically like a contact lens thin layer of porcelain that goes over top of the tooth to mask any staining intrinsically that might be in the tooth or teeth that don't have the proper proportions or may not be aligned properly. And so it can give the teeth a more evenly distributed look or cohesiveness in the smile.
And how long does that last?
Veneers, just like crowns, can last anywhere from 5 to 7 years, which is probably a mean or an average, up to 20 years. Each patient, it varies, again, widely on the patient and their bite and their home care and how often they come in and see us and have their regular cleanings.
Okay. I want to just take a quick second just to say hello to Mike Cullop, who is inside the chat room as we talk about teeth tonight on At Home with Victoria with Dr. Ivy Hancock, also Marv Bennett, our producer, and also we have some guests. So if you guys have any questions inside the chat room, just throw them out there, and as we have this conversation, I'll certainly ask them for you. Dr. Hancock, a lot of them in the chat room are wondering, and you may not know the answer to this about insurance. Do insurance these days cover teeth whitening? Do you know anything about that, if they do or don't?
No, we haven't seen any insurances, at least in my experience at Presidential Dental Group, that cover whitening. But, you know, patients typically, when we can show them the results and, you know, explain to them that they may, how they will benefit from the results, are usually okay from with paying from out of pocket for those procedures.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I would imagine too, you know, if in fact you have made a decision to have your teeth whitened, that you've probably done some research, you know, and may already know a little bit about what the price is going to cost you to have it done, I would imagine too. For that reason. So we've talked about teeth whitening, we've talked about veneers. What are some of the other procedures there at Presidential Dentist Group?
We offer sedation dentistry for patients who are, you know, have anxiety or had a prior visit to the dentist that, you know, wasn't the most pleasant experience. Where the patient can come in and actually go to sleep for the procedure. We also offer laser dentistry, which is minimally invasive dentistry, and obviously preventive dentistry, meaning your oral health care for your hygiene appointments, your cleanings, standard fillings, root canals, and we even offer injectables like Botox and Restylane.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I was getting ready to see if I could switch the subject and talk about that a little bit, because when we put out the information, our press release talking about that you were going to be on tonight, a few women wanted me to ask you about that. And Botox these days, I remember when I was a young journalist and covering Botox, it seems like, you know, there were some women that would get it done and men too, and some would kind of shy away from it. But it seems like now, you know, Botox is just simply not a big thing. Like, you can whip into an office and have your lips or your, you know, the arch of your eyebrows or wherever line you have, get it done. It's just sort of in and out, and it's not just a big deal. So is that what you're feeling now about, you know, Botox?
Yes, I think that it has become a lot more mainstream. Many dentists are doing it these days, and we certainly offer it at Presidential Dental Group. And it actually is not only used for cosmetic procedures, but also for problems that patients may have with TMJ or clenching and grinding and pain associated with clenching and grinding and headaches. And so we found that it is an effective non-surgical procedure that we can offer to the patients for problems associated with TMJ and problems like that.
Yeah. That, I did not know that you can that you guys use it for that as well. So I learned something new tonight. A while back when I was when I used to be a television anchor in Baltimore, and I would have to anchor the morning show early in the morning, and I was trying to figure out, you know, sort of a sleep schedule, and I was stressing, and I guess I was biting down so much on my teeth in the back, and I was grinding them back and forth.
Grinding, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I know a lot of people, especially when you're stressing out or, you know, sleep, that grinding can be a big problem.
And, yeah, definitely grinding and stress is a problem, and it's widespread in most metropolitan areas, especially in D.C., New York. And we are able to place Botox in certain areas to help relax those muscles that are responsible for excessively having you grind on the teeth. And those muscles can be deprogrammed using the Botox. And help those muscles to relax so that you're not grinding away on your teeth or any of the cosmetic procedures we've done, such as the veneers or other fillings and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Now, in terms of Botox, and is it sort of one of those things where you can, you know, in terms of downtime, I mean, you can kind of get it done and be back to work the next day or the same day. There's not a lot of time involved
absolutely.
In that.
No, yeah, you can certainly return to work the next day. And, in fact, the results are not usually seen or felt for a couple of days after you have the procedure done anyway. So you'll just feel the little pinches when you come in the office. And literally, I mean, most patients who have any level of anxiety about it, they leave the office saying, oh, it was really nothing. To them, and you won't see those results again until a couple of days after. So there's nothing that you feel when you leave the office the same day.
Got you. Now, also with Botox, I know a lot of women and men, again, you do come back every so often to have it redone. Is that correct?
Usually the results will last for 3 to 6 months, depending on the person and just what the dosage level is that they need.
Gotcha. So, guys, we're talking about, you know, we've kicked off a new New Year series beginning in January. So Dr. Ivy Hancock was kind enough to join us tonight to tell us a little bit about what goes on at the Presidential Dental Group at her practice in you're located in right in the city, correct?
Yes. We have two locations. One is downtown, a few blocks actually from the White House. We're at 16th and L. And the Uptown office is in the historic Tacoma area, Uptown near Silver Spring.
Gotcha.
On Cedar Street, actually, yeah.
And for those of you that are listening, if you want to, in fact, I would think it's a great idea if you check out her website, because basically all the information that she is talking about tonight, you can find the same information in detail on her website,
yes.
Which is www.presidentialdentalgroup.com. And our executive producer, Mar, actually has the link posted inside of our chat room, and it will be posted when the show is over on Facebook and Twitter and our other social networking sites. So you guys can certainly, you know, if you miss it while I'm speaking, you're more than welcome. We'll post it like we do everywhere. And we have over, I would say, probably close to over 200,000 people, Dr. Hancock, who are faithful fans and followers. And
oh, my goodness.
Victoria.
Oh.
And yeah, and so that's how many is listening to you now. I'm not trying to frighten you, but I was saying that to say a lot of them live in the D.C. And Baltimore area. So if you ladies and gents are, you know, thinking about Botox, or, you know, if you think that you need it or you want more information about it, or, you know, if you have some concerns about your teeth, I have heard good things about their practice. And one of the things after me doing my research on you that a few people talk about, and they talk about just how extraordinarily you do a great job, and also your other staff members, of putting people at ease. And that was really important to me to also have you on the show, because going to the dentist, you know, it's not a thing that everybody likes to do.
No,
you know,
whenever
you say dentist, people freak out, and, you know, then they start thinking all these crazy thoughts. So I thought that was really cool and also important that the people that I talked to about you and your practice, just, you know, I think that was sort of the main theme. If they just kept saying, oh, they're just so warm and friendly, they're just really nice,
yeah.
You know, they kind of calm your anxiety.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things to us, is that we really try to welcome the patient to the office and really make them feel as though they're friends, you know, coming in, well, almost like we're welcoming them into our home. And we like to have a good time, and although we are very serious about dentistry and the procedures, we want the patient to let their guard down and feel welcome and let us know any concerns or questions, anxiety that they may have, anything that they, you know, want to discuss with us, we want them to feel welcome to do that. And we build a team that way as well. So,
well, certainly that from the scoop that I'm getting, that is certainly what you seem to be doing. I do have a question, if you don't mind getting back to Botox, and this is actually from Mar, our executive producer, who is in the wonderful state of Tennessee. Her question is, she says that she's been thinking about getting Botox, and she wants to know what happens, for example, if you decide that you just want to stop using it. So let's say you get Botox for a year, and then you decide after that you don't want to do it anymore. She wants to know, does the skin go back to normal, or will it get worse?
Absolutely. The skin will return back. Actually, that's the great thing about Botox. Sometimes, and this is not anything that obviously any doctor wants to have happen, but if the patient for some reason, which is very, very rare, doesn't react in a way or we don't get the result that we had hoped for, the great thing about Botox, it's kind of like good and bad, but the great thing about it is that the skin does and the muscles do return back to the original state that they were in. And Botox really only lasts for, again, 3 to 6 months, with an average of about 4.5 months for most people. So it really is a treatment that you have to continue using to maintain the results. Once you have that treatment, after that 4.5 month or so period, everything returns back to completely back to the way that it was.
Okay, great, great. And Mar says thank you very much for answering her question. She certainly has it. So besides Botox and that, what other type of services do you provide in that arena?
Well, we offer Restylane as well, which is a filler that can be used for a variety of procedures. For example, some patients who have had implants where they may have some recession of the gums, which can be unsightly. There are some areas where you place an implant sometimes where you have what we call, as dentists, the black triangle, which is where the gum tissue doesn't fill in completely around that implant. And Restylane can be used in that area to help fill in the gum tissue in those in that region. It can also be used, which patients love, for an anti-aging, as an anti-aging procedure where they're called the nasolabial fold, which is that little line, that crease that extends from your nose down to your lips. And we can use the Restylane to fill in that area and just take ages off of our patients. And patients, they're always pleased with that. And so Botox and Restylane are kind of, you know, procedures that the patients love, and they're regular routine procedures that are have been tested and time-tested over and over and over again. It's one of the procedures that actually has the most research done out there besides just local anesthesia. So it's very, very safe, and we do a lot of it. The other procedures that we do very regularly, cosmetic procedures, is, again, the whitening. And I've noticed lately with veneers, there has been kind of a decline in veneers. Patients are kind of going back to wanting to just have their natural smile, and a lot of patients are electing to just use the Invisalign to straighten their teeth. Without necessarily grinding the teeth down and doing veneers. But then you have other patients who just want that uniform smile, and they just have to have the veneers. So it really depends on what the patient wants.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as you were talking about, and as we talk about all these different options within your field of expertise, I think I think it's great because people do have options. So, you know, so if veneers are not going to work for you, perhaps the Invisalign is going to work for you. So I think that's great that in your industry you know, it's not sort of this one size fit all. So once you find out, whatever that specific person's problem is, then you can kind of, you know, go from there. And I also wanted to mention, I thought about it when you talked about the type of research about the wrestling. I remember doing a story when I worked in the Midwest, and this was sort of a chop shop, but it was a person who called himself a physician who was doing Botox and wrestling and some other different types of things, but he didn't have a license to do it. And that was another reason why I wanted you to come on, you know, to talk about that. It's important that, you know, when you're having these procedures done and when you're having anything, whether it's through anti-aging or cosmetic, whether it's dentist or, you know, other procedures, that, you know, people really have got to make sure that they get somebody who's accredited out there, you know, somebody like yourself who, you know, went to Howard University, to Temple University School of Dentistry, who continued at NYU. So I just think it's important. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you can talk a little bit about how to make sure, if you're going to have any of this done, that it's done from a reputable person.
Yes, absolutely. And the way that, of course, I would love everyone to come to my office, but if anyone is ever wondering out there about credentials or how do they select a particular person, going to a lot of the associations and academies, such as the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry or Facial Aesthetics, for example, and finding a dentist through those websites or a doctor through any of those websites is always a plus. And you'll find that doctors who do have these affiliations with these groups are usually up to par on their continuing education and have gone through extensive training to be able to provide these procedures.
Right. Yeah, definitely I agree. And especially the continuous education, because like I mentioned, my sweetheart does emergency medicine, and it seems like every, you know, 2 or 3 months he's flying to some conference somewhere because of something new that has come out, or, you know, new education or something. So it is amazing with you doctors is that although you quote unquote finish school, you're always
you
learning,
never
you know?
Finish. Yeah,
never ever finish. I mean, there's always, if you come to my house, there's so many doctors' books and magazines and this and that, and it's like when I think I can get rid of some, I swear there's a whole batch more of them that come. So, yeah, that's one thing in your industry that I always tease people and say, you know, with doctors, although they graduate, their education never, ever stops. They're always learning.
Because
always.
It's always evolving, so you want to stay cutting edge. And, you know, so you're able to provide your patients literally with the best care. I mean, it sounds almost cliche, but it's really important. You don't want to find out that some other dentists out there are providing the patient with the most up-to-date care and you're still practicing dentistry like it was being practiced 10 years ago. I mean, I don't want to do that. So it's very, very important to stay abreast of everything going on.
Gotcha. And that was another thing that I loved about you, because I did a lot of reading myself on you, and it was, you know, clear that, like I said, although you never you graduate, but you're still learning and you're still out there. And in fact, I Dr. Hancock saw my dentist, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, because I had to have my teeth cleaned, and I mentioned to him that I was going to have you on the show, and he knows a little bit about some of the doctors in the D.C. area. So I wrote your name down, and I said, when you get a chance, I said, here's her website. I said, you know, check her out. And I called him today to say, hey, did you check out who I'm going to have on my show tonight? So I think Dr. Schiff is actually listening to the show, so if you are, I want to thank you for listening. But he did say that he was very impressed with the services that you provide, and it was a thorough list of services. So when he said that, because he's kind of really, you know, old school doctor, dentist, and when he said that, I thought, you know, I was like, whew, I'm really glad.
I feel like I interviewed
approved.
The right person.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I'm
honored, though. I'm honored that I have his approval because
yes, you definitely
that's another
do.
Thing. I've had a lot of some of the pioneers in dentistry. I've been very fortunate to have been trained by some of them. And so while dentistry is ever-changing and medicine is ever-changing, there are still some key things that will just not change. And,
absolutely.
You know, just mm-hmm. that standard of care that, you know, it just stands the test of time. So I'm mm-hmm. very honored that he approved of my website.
Yes, yes, he did. I wasn't sure if I was going to mention that on air, but it kind of it kind of fit in with the with the conversation, and I just said, hey, I said, well, here's her name, and I said, here's her website. I said, so do me a favor if you have some time and take a look. So he definitely thoroughly looked at your website, and I think every now and then he's in Baltimore teaching classes. I want to say maybe at the University
of Maryland.
Yeah. I think sometimes mm-hmm. he gives of his time doing that. And then down here where we are at the beach, which is where I live, he does, mm-hmm. I think, like maybe once or twice a month there's sort of a free clinic. But he also donates his services to clean teeth and for a lot of folks with low income that can't afford, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
to go to.
Very
yeah.
key as well. We are yeah. actually participating on Friday to give kids a smile, which is down at Howard University, which is just treating kids who are underprivileged. And, I mean, we see kids all the time who are from lower income families, and we try to designate a certain amount of time toward that because it is, at the end of
yeah.
the day, I mean, we're all here to promote oral health. So
yeah, that's wonderful. And you know, mm-hmm. it's interesting, and I'm thinking, and I know I told you 30 minutes, so I'm probably yapping too much and I'm taking up your time, but I do want to mention this. I remember growing up, and we didn't have a lot of money, so I was from one of those families. I was born and raised in D.C. and Southeast in the projects, but I remember it had to be through the D.C. Department of Family Services or Health or something like that. But there was always at least once or twice a year, like a little dental hygiene bus sort of thing. That would literally come to my school. And I remember, you know, you of course had to have permission from your parents to sign up. So my mom would mm-hmm. always sign the paper. And literally it was as a result of that was how, you know, when I was a kid going into my teenage years, that I got dental care as a result of that mobile bus. So I'm sure it had to be city and federal funded, and I'm sure a lot of the doctors looking back on it who were probably a part of that were people like you who gave of their time to do that.
Yes, definitely. We haven't gotten to a point where oral health care is accessible to the masses, mm-hmm. and so realizing that we can offer these really cosmetic procedures where they're not covered by insurance and patients have to pay out of pocket, but at the same time you want to feel like you're offering that balance and so that
absolutely.
Everyone at least has access to oral health care, and so
absolutely.
You know, you just try to find ways
yeah.
and that's
balance
one of
it out. Yeah, exactly
mm-hmm.
like you said. And I remember it was as a result of that mobile dental bus that I learned the proper way to brush my teeth. It was as a result of that. And then when we would leave, we would always leave with a little toothbrush and toothpaste and you know a little
mm-hmm.
mouthwash, but there was always a little toy or something inside the bag. But it's amazing because I hadn't thought about that in many, many years. Of course, now, you know, I go to the dentist regular myself and can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that we're having this conversation because I had completely, you know, just sort of forgot about that. But, yeah, it was as a result of that
mm-hmm.
and my mom's being a wonderful person to sign me up for it, and I guess you knew that dental care was important. She couldn't afford it, so, and still to this day, it was the way that they taught me when I was a kid to brush my teeth. I still do it the exact same way, so that just goes to show, you know, that once you learn something as a kid, I mean, we really do continue it in adulthood.
And I'm just, you know, I've been kind of smiling from ear to ear ever since you said that you're a native, because every day in my office I meet patients, and they're so shocked to hear that I'm from D.C., and my mom and my dad are from D.C., so I'm like a third-generation person from D.C., and they say, wow, I've never met someone from D.C., so, you know, it's nice to... Yeah.
Well, and you and I both know that D.C. in a sense can kind of sort of be two cities. It's very much, you know, the residents and people who live there and have lived there all their lives, and like you said, second and third generations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have sort of the government people that kind of come
the
and
transit.
Go. They make, the transit. Yeah, whether it's lobbyists or congressional or for whatever reason, they come to D.C. and they work for three or 4 years, and then they leave, and another group comes in. So I always tell people it's kind of two sort of sides to D.C. I think.
I agree.
Well, listen, I'm just excited that, you know, I know you, and of course I've got to thank Eve Etman from Sip with Socialites. Also, Rachel, I cannot let you go and not thank her, because it's as a result of Rachel who helped
her
me get you. Yeah, her effort, and we were going back and forth via email, and she held out with me for a week when I had the flu, and I wasn't sending emails back. But just to let you know, she was absolutely fantastic. So I hope that I'm able to keep you in my Rolodex. So if we ever have any, you know, whether it's a big story on the news or something that you guys have going on that you think that my listeners need to know or the public, just to get that information out, I'm literally just a phone call or email away. So you can kind of be our sort of a dental or cosmetic sort of a expert on the show. So you're more than welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm honored to be your dental guru.
That's what you're reserved for. You can be our like CNN and all the other news outlets. They have their so-called contributors and consultants.
Yes.
You can be that for us. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I do want to thank you. I took up a little bit more than your time. We have Janelle, who's actually going to be on next, and she's wonderful. In fact, you guys may be able to hook up. She works for a nonprofit organization in D.C. called Food and Friends, and she's their nutritionist. So she's the one who kind of Food and Friends. My brother actually is an associate chef there, and they basically give out meals. I think they give 3 meals a day to, oh, my God, you know, just hundreds of people in the D.C. area, also West Virginia, and they don't charge them anything. So it's basically people that are, you know, cancer patients, AIDS, people that have a chronic disease or illness, and they aren't able to do for themselves. But Janelle is really cool, so she's coming on next to basically just talk about nutrition, so we can kind of piggyback off of, you know, why your teeth is important into nutrition as well. But listen, the next time I'm in D.C., I'm going to get with Rachel, or I'll call your office. I won't take up a lot of your time, but it'll be fun to come by and just wave at you and say hi in person.
Oh, great. And that would be my pleasure to see you. And, again, I'm just very thankful that you invited me tonight.
And I'm glad that you came. You gave a lot of good information. Again, guys, don't forget, check out her website, because, like I said, all the information that she was so kind to talk to us tonight about, it's on www.presidentialdentalgroup.com, and I will have it on my Facebook page, our fan page. Mar has it inside the chat room, and we generally send an email out to all of our listeners about sort of, we do a weekend review of the show, so all of them will have it. So if you don't have a dentist, if you are thinking about having any type of work done, you know, Dr. Ivy Hancock and her group, these folks are legit. I would definitely tell you to check them out. So, Dr. Hancock, I really do hope that you had a good time. I had a great time talking to you.
I was
and
nervous,
again,
but you made me feel a lot better. Thank you so much.
I couldn't tell you were nervous. You tricked me, though.
Oh,
you did a good job.
Oh, I just told on myself. Okay.
Well, listen, the only thing that I have to say to that is you better get used to doing these radio and TV interviews, because I know a lot of people in D.C. That work in television at the TV stations, and we kind of communicate for various reasons. So I'm going to tell them, if you ever need somebody to talk about teeth or dentists, I will pass along your name and tell them to call you. So I know people at Fox, at Channel 7, at Channel 9, at NBC, I know them all. So get used
okay.
to this. But you did a good job. You didn't seem nervous at all. So
okay.
All right,
well,
sweetie.
Thank you
so much for taking your time tonight. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody, that was Dr. Ivy Hancock, who was joining us tonight. And, again, she is with Presidential Dental Group in D.C. They've got two offices, one downtown, as she mentioned, close by the White House, and the other one is Tacoma Park. That's considered the uptown office. So, like I said, if you sort of missed anything, I know we kind of ran through a lot. I sort of wanted to do it that way just so that she could get all of her information in. But, again, if you're in D.C., you know, if you don't like your dentist, although I hate to say that, but if you're looking for a dentist or, you know, like I said, if you've got any, I think even if you guys have any type of questions, you know, that you want to ask her, I just feel really good about, you know, you asking her. So she has some other folks that work in her office, and if you do contact her, tell her that you got a chance to listen to her on At Home with Victoria and that I sent you. But anyway, I know Janelle is probably like, where is Victoria going to bring me on? But I mentioned Janelle Walker is the young lady who is coming on next, and she is actually with Food and Friends. I met her through my fabulous brother, Jerry. So let's see if I can pick up, my producer can get. Janelle, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Victoria.
Hey, darling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Did you get a chance to listen to any of Dr. Ivy Hancock's interview about teeth?
Yes, and oral health is so important, especially for nutrition. It goes hand in hand.
It really does, doesn't it? Well, tell us about it and tell us why it really does go hand in hand.
Well, in order to eat, you have to have teeth. Period. I mean, it's as simple as that. And if you don't have the appropriate equipment to chew your food and to the appropriate enzymes to help digest it, then it's going to be very difficult for you to get the proper nutrition. I heard you talk a little bit about Food and Friends, and we do work with people who have HIV, cancer, and other life-challenging illnesses. And I can tell you about every other client that I speak to, they have some sort of chewing issue or swallowing issue or dry mouth that affects their eating, and it overall affects their nutrition. So oral health is very, very important.
Hey, listen, you know what? I just came up with this great idea. I need to connect you, Dr. Ivy Hancock, and you ladies together. You guys need to hit the road and down there in D.C., and she can talk teeth, and then you can piggyback and talk nutrition, because I knew that there was a connection, and when I kind of asked you to be on the show tonight, I kind of thought, oh, yeah, I'm sure there's the connection, but there really, really is a connection, and, you know, it never dawned on me, the work that you guys do at Food and Friends, that some of the folks that you're dealing with, you know, probably do have issues, as, you know, whether it's a result of their medical condition with their teeth, and it may be hard for them to eat.
Absolutely. Like I said, even, for instance, our cancer patients who are receiving chemotherapy or radiation, they have the dry mouth. And if you're not producing saliva, then you're not able to wipe away the bacteria, and it can cause your teeth to rot out. And then you have to have your teeth pulled. So, again, it's like a chain reaction. And so we do have some dentists that we work with for our clients who are not able to afford the dental care, but it's mm-hmm. no such thing as having too many. I think that definitely if we could get together and, you know, work out something for our clients that are having a difficult time, you know, taking care of their oral health, it's very important.
Yeah, well, I will definitely, when the show is over, I will introduce the two of you via email. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a great thing for the two of you to know each other, because I know Dr. Hancock, and like I said, I do extensive research on folks that come on the show. I know she does a lot of community work, so you know, mm-hmm. even if it's something in terms of her expertise as a doctor and a dentist with information, you know, I just think it would be wonderful. But switching subjects just a little bit, so you are coming on tonight because, you know, and you may not know, we did a we kicked off sort of a new healthy sort of new you for January.
Absolutely.
And we had we had folks on that were talking about fitness and all these other things, but of course, you know, you can't do a new you and not get nutrition in there. I mean, that before you even think about exercising and Zumba and picking up a weight, I just think
yes.
nutrition just really does have to come first, right?
You are absolutely right. You couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely have to. So talk about nutrition in the sense, so, you know, everyone that's been listening to the show, we've been talking about, like I said, exercising, but I always tell people, if you're not going to change your diet, I mean, if you're the type that's eating every single day, you know, at fast food restaurants and you're not getting, you know, leafy vegetables and plants into your diet and fruits and all of that stuff and cutting out the fat and the sugar, you know, I don't care how much you work out. I mean, you will lose some weight. And you and I both know you're going to lose some weight, but you're not maximizing because there's only so much that you're going to lose if you're not properly taking care of the other end to that. So in that sense, you know, we definitely need greens and vegetables and all that type of nutrition in our bodies, right?
You're right. And one thing that you mentioned, you said the ins and outs. You know, we have to take care of our bodies inside and outside. You know, definitely exercise regularly. You're going to see changes in your physical appearance. But if you're not giving your body the correct nutrients that it needs, the insides are not going to work properly. And so good nutrition, it's very important because the nutrients such as the carbohydrates, the fat, the protein, your vitamins, your minerals, and your antioxidants, they're very necessary for every single mechanism in your body. So from, you know, pumping blood to all of your organs and even breathing, those nutrients are needed for those functions. So if you're not getting those in your food, where do you think you're getting them from? Your body's going to be deficient. And so that's when you can, over time, you know, it can lead to chronic diseases such as diabetes or high blood pressure. And that's mm-hmm. very important, especially in the D.C. area where there's a higher prevalence of African Americans. So a lot
yeah.
of times you'll see comorbidities. So you'll have someone who has cancer but who is also overweight or obese. They also have a family history of diabetes and probably hypertension, and so you must nourish your body with the correct things in order for it to work properly.
Right, and certainly, yeah, all of that is right, and, you know, because this is your field, you know this more than anybody. I mean, it is amazing today and age where, and again, my significant other happens to be a doctor. He deals with emergency medicine, but he talks about a lot of the, you know, young kids that he considers young, that are 11, 12, 13, and 14 years old that, you know, may come into his office, for example, if they, you know, fell and twisted their ankle or broke a wrist or something, and he's got to patch them up. But he says he's amazed in the process of doing that. If he gives them a regular physical exam and he takes their blood pressure, he says a lot of these kids, he goes, their blood pressure, you know, what I see in them, I see that in adults. So he was
yes.
saying that it's
yes.
amazing how there's a huge shift in this country where the type of diseases that you talked about, high blood pressure, diabetes, all these diseases that you would normally see in an adult male or female in their, you know, early 30s or 40s or 50s, that you're seeing those same things in kids now.
Yes. Yes, and one thing I wanted to bring up, you said in the last session, you know, the dental truck would come around when you were in school and
yeah.
you took how to brush your teeth, and as a child, you took that with you into adulthood, and that's what I really want parents to do to their children now. If you teach your children how to eat healthy, why to eat healthy, why is it important to have fruits and vegetables, why is it important to have dairy products, if you teach them those habits now, they will be habits as they become adults, and then they will transfer down to their kids and so on and so forth. And so it's so important that as parents, we try to, you know, make our lives a little unbusy so that we can teach our children the best way to be healthy and happy. When I grew up, we always had vegetables on our plate, always.
Yeah.
And so as an adult, I won't eat dinner unless I have vegetables, no matter where I am. And so those habits are going to carry on through adulthood.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're definitely right. And I was thinking as I do these shows, a lot of the habits that I have now as an adult was as a result of somebody teaching me that when I was a kid, whether it was my mom, my grandparents, or you know, or someone that was older. And I did a show, I want to say maybe a couple of months ago, on breast cancer. Actually, it must have been October, November, whenever Breast Cancer Awareness Month is. We always, of course, do a show. And it was during that show that I recalled that it was as a result of when I was in elementary school, there was there again, somehow through D.C. Public Schools, health and education or whatever it was, through P.E. there, I remember there was a woman who came in and she talked about breast cancer and she, all the boys went out the room, but she had, you know, a breast and she showed all of us how to hold your arm up if you're in the shower. And it's amazing because that's when I think I must have been in like fifth or sixth grade. So it's amazing thinking back on that, and still to this day, that the way that that lady taught me is exactly the way that I do it. Yeah. So
yeah,
you're right. I mean,
if you
show kids things when they're a kid, I guarantee you, I mean, they may not do it then and at that moment, but once they get it in their head and they know the right way to do it, I think they always remember. Okay, well, I'm going to get off my little soapbox now. So listen, I do have a question. Michael Kay, who is actually my entertainment co-host, who is off the air tonight because we were talking kind of girly stuff, so I gave him the night off. He is really interested in juicing. So he wants to know, what do you think about juicing and how effective is it juicing versus if he just takes a multivitamin? So it seems like everybody that's been that follows our show, for some reason, everybody seems to be into juicing and want to know more about juicing. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's a really excellent question. I get that question often. I kind of want to relate this back to the oral health for 2 seconds. I always tell my clients, if you can eat, then eat. So that basically means that juicing, when you juice, you are getting all of the nutrients out of whatever it is that you're juicing, but you're not getting the fiber because that comes out of the back end, okay? And so juicing is great if you really don't like to, you know, carry fruit around with you or carry vegetables, and maybe there's certain vegetables that you prefer to juice instead of eat. So in that sense, it's great, but you have to remember, what is your purpose for juicing? Are you juicing to lose weight? Are you juicing because you need to get more fruits and vegetables? Whatever your purpose is, then you have to figure out what your next steps are. Now, if you're juicing to lose weight, that's not a good idea because once you've lost the weight, you're going to go back to eating, and then you're going to regain that weight, right?
Gotcha.
But if you're juicing because you're thinking, hey, I might be able to get some fruits and vegetables that I don't normally like to eat whole, then that's perfectly fine. So one thing that I want everyone to remember is that when you juice, you are losing the fiber. And fiber is what helps keep us regular. There's also a ton of vitamins and minerals in there. And also there's a ton of research that shows us that getting an adequate amount of fiber, which is about 25 to 35 grams per day, can help reduce our risk of colon cancer. So when it comes to I know you also mentioned the multivitamin. Again, if you can eat, then eat. A multivitamin should only be in the instance that you have some sort of decrease in intake. Maybe you're sick, or, you know, maybe you are out of the country and you don't have access to the foods that you normally like to eat. But on a regular basis, if you're healthy and you have the teeth to chew, then go ahead and eat those foods. Absolutely.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I apologize if I neglected to mention, we have a chat room. So as our show is live on the air, over our 200,000 some folks that listen and all over the U.S. and in Great Britain, we have a lot of fans there too. We have a chat room so folks talk, you know, during the chat room. So Michael says, he says, yeah, actually, Janelle just made a really great point. Just go ahead and eat the fruit as opposed to actually doing that. So basically, you know, you have to figure out the reason why you're juicing. So juicing is not, should not be a substitute for your fruit. So just eat it if you can.
Just eat it if you can, and it just kind of goes into, like, the juicing diet. You know, any type of diet where you're eliminating one whole food group or you're preparing food one type of way, you have to think about, okay, what happens when I go back to what I usually do? And so that's why I really encourage people to make lifestyle changes as opposed to going on diets, because diets are short-term. You know, once you lose the weight for your class reunion and you go back to eating the way you were normally eating, you're going to gain the weight back. But if you make the lifestyle, and then some, absolutely. But if you make small lifestyle changes, you know, make small realistic goals and you master it and you move on, then it becomes something that's habit. And we're talking about this word, you know, pretty often tonight is habit. You want to make it a habit. So juicing isn't anything that someone's going to do for the rest of their life unless they have issues chewing their food.
Well, I have to tell you, so and for those of you that are listening, Janelle Walker is just joining us, and she's a nutritionist. So my brother has been talking about you for quite some time. Whenever I see him, he's always bending my ear. He's like, oh, she's really sharp. You've got to have her on. You've got to have her on. So, of course, anytime my brother says anything, and we're actually twins, we're joined at the hip, and we look just alike. I'm like, okay, Jerry, sure, whatever. I mean, we really are our best friends. And he says, oh, you're going to love her. He goes, man, she's so smart, and she's very good when she, you know, delivers information. So I was thinking about that as you were talking, and I'm thinking, my brother was right. I'm like, this lady is really, really sharp. And apparently, folks in our chat room seem to think so, too, and the emails that I'm getting seem to think so, too. So I just wanted to, as a sidebar, just throw that in there and let you know that we're definitely enjoying the conversation and the information that you are giving us tonight. So one of the things that I emailed you that I wanted to talk about, because I know the federal government, I don't know if it was last year or when it was, but I remember discussing it with some friends, but I know the federal government sort of changed their quote-unquote guidelines on food and sort of portion sizes. So I sent you an email to ask if you could, in the email I think I sent you a link to ask if you can discuss that. So is that really a big deal? I mean, I know portion sizes probably are a big deal, but what are your thoughts on that?
Portion sizes are a huge deal, and it's the reason why we have this obesity issue in, you know, America right now. So I think many of us grew up with the pyramid, the food pyramid. It was black, and it had these little polka dots up top, which meant, you know, eat food sparingly. And so that was released in 1992 by the USDA. Because there was some, you know, discussion about, well, what does this mean for me? Because every single person has certain nutrient needs. It's kind of like your fingerprint, you know, what you need in terms of your nutrients is not the same thing that I need and vice versa. So the USDA in 2005 released My Pyramid. And so basically My Pyramid, they released it on the graphic along with a customizable website. And so basically it was designed keeping the old pyramid in mind, but also to focus on physical activity and how each and every person has a different nutrient need. The problem was with this My Pyramid was that consumers found it to be confusing because they still didn't know what types of foods to eat. It was so many different colors. Then there's a man climbing up top, and they're like, well, if I'm climbing up top, then I can eat the donuts. I mean, so there was so much confusion with consumers. So in 2011, they released My Plate. Okay.
Well,
so
and you know what's funny? You know, I just want to interrupt you because what's funny about that, and I guess it really isn't funny, it more so says a lot about Americans. You know, anytime basically we can screw something up or anytime we can change something to fit to eat a donut, basically we're all for that. So I remember that was a part when it came out and people were trying to say, well, you know, well, what happens if I move the vegetables here and then if I move this over there and then I'm able to get this, does that mean that I can have more sugars and sweets over here? And I remember thinking, laughing to myself, but being angry at the same time, saying, when are we as a society going to get it? You know, we need to be healthy. You can't, it's not about moving something over here so you can have a couple of extra donuts to eat at the end of the day.
Exactly. So, no, you're absolutely right, because there was a disconnect. You have this pyramid. And so in 2011, the USDA released My Plate. And so My Plate was a visual of your plate. And so it focuses, you know, getting foods from all different food groups, but most importantly, making half of your plate fruits and vegetables. So the website that you referenced, www.choosemyplate.gov, is an amazing website. There's extensive information about food and nutrition. You can do things such as calculate your nutrition needs, analyze and track your diet. You can search for recipes, and there are other community health initiatives and resources on the website. So basically, the website can show you, you know, what different foods are found in each food group and how much of it you should be consuming. We talked a little bit about portion sizes a few minutes ago, but you know, we are eating way too, our portions are just way too big. And so, again, My Plate is showing you that, okay, when you have your dinner, when you have your lunch, really focus on those low-calorie fruits and vegetables. Get your dairy in there. Get your, you know, lean protein, which is about 3 ounces, and then your grains, which are about a third of a cup to a half a cup, really focusing on portions. And so I like the My Plate. It's a great visual. I have actual plates in my house that say My Plate on them so you can portion your food out. And what I love about it is that it's easily customized to different ethnicities. So, you know, you have your traditional American food, but if, say, I'm speaking to someone who's of Asian descent and they might have more of a combination dish, we can maneuver things around the plate to show them that although you have a combination dish, you're still getting half of your plate fruits and vegetables, and this part is, you know, your grains and your protein. So it's just a great way for teachers such as myself, dietitians and health educators, to put a visual as to what you're eating for someone to utilize while they're at the dinner table.
And when did you decide in your life that this was something that you wanted to be an advocate for and to do, to get into nutrition and health?
You know, it's a very emotional topic for me because when I started college, I didn't want to go to college. honestly, I didn't want to go to college. And so I was about to get kicked out of school, unfortunately, because I hadn't declared a major. And I sat down and I said, Janelle, what do you love? And I said, I love food and I love science. And I found this thing called dietetics. I have a bachelor's degree in dietetics. And once I started taking my nutrition courses, it was as easy as 1, 2, 3. The other thing is when I started taking these classes, you know, I'm African-American. And when I started taking these classes, I was the only African-American in my classes. And then everything that I'm reading about the chronic diseases that we talked about earlier, they affected my community the most.
Absolutely.
And so I said, okay, it's my duty to give back to the community and to educate, because I remember eating Spam out of a can. I remember eating hash. I remember eating soggy broccoli. You know, all of these things that, you know.
Now that you mentioned that, and both of us are adults and we can probably more so think for ourselves, what in the hell is Spam? I still don't even know. Like, I remember having Spam sandwiches with mustard. And, of course, now thinking back on that, it's so disgusting. And we would fry it up. So, I'm just going to have to go to the store and try to find a can, because I don't even know what that is, you know?
Spam is spiced ham. So it's different parts of the pig, and they put it all together, and they spice it up, and then we rip that top off with the gelatin, and we put it in that frying pan. But, you know, that is what that is what made me so – I'm very passionate about my work. I'm very passionate about teaching and educating, and that is what made me get this way, because I remember, you know, my parents not being able to afford fresh fruits and vegetables. I was an adult mm-hmm. by the time I started eating fresh cauliflower or fresh broccoli. And right. so, you know, back then – my parents didn't know anything about nutrition. Now, were they good at making sure we had our fruits and vegetables? Absolutely. But they didn't know anything about this Spam, you know, this mystery meat that they were putting on our plate. Yeah. And, you know, they had bills to pay. And so a lot of families, just to kind of bring it full circle, a lot of families in the district have this same issue where they say, okay, I have $30 for food this week. It's me and my daughter or me and my two kids. How am I going to stretch these dollars? And so
and you know what's amazing about and you know what's amazing about that, you know, the folks that that maybe only have the $30. I was talking, I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but we were talking about how easy it is to go to, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and fast food
very
restaurants
easy.
And you can get, you know, you can get a cheeseburger for a dollar. I'm not really sure it's a real burger, but that's a different story. But, you know, you can actually eat, you know, you can actually feed your kids, you know, this food, and it's actually cheap, and it actually fills them up. But it's amazing, because once you actually, when you become an adult and, you know, you kind of start to learn, like in your case, and the same thing happened to me, you really kind of start to learn a little bit about nutrition and health and what you should be eating versus what you shouldn't be eating. And then you start thinking to yourself, you know, what in the hell were these people feeding me when I was a kid? And then all of a sudden you start thinking about the McDonald's, and I'm not trying to single them out. But basically fast food, the fast food in general. And then I just remember one day, I just remember all of it was just so gross to me. And I thought I could never bite into, like, a McDonald's burger, because I'm like, I don't even know what it is. Now, I must admit, I love their French fries. I don't know if they're real fries or what they are. We'll put that out there. But I do love those French fries. And I was saying that to say the power of education and the power of learning really does make a difference, because once you know that, you know, that stuff is really damaging you and it's not healthy for you, once you know, you know, then it forces you to think about yourself, it forces you to think about your life, and it really forces you to think about decisions that you need to make. Because once you really know the truth, you can't really go back.
You can't go back. And when I tell people that I haven't had McDonald's in like 5 years, they kind of look at me and just say, oh, of course, you're a dietitian. I mean, does the smell sometimes entice me? At times, depending on, you know, when it is. But you're absolutely right. Once you really understand the magnitude that the food you eat has on your body, you can't go back. Now, granted, we all have that one item, that one food item that we absolutely love, but that's perfectly fine. But it's all about moderation. You know, if French fries are your thing, if chips are your thing, that's perfectly fine to eat them every day. No. But to say, okay, well, I'll eat, you know, some French fries once a month or once every other week. That's perfectly fine.
Right. And, you know, speaking of French fries, Michael wants to know, and I think this is really, really good question, or just your comment on it. He wanted to know, what would you agree that some of the additives designed to lower calories are actually more harmful than just eating a smaller portion size? So some of those additives, I think, do kind of juice up and bulk up the taste of the food, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many different things that the food companies put in our food that we don't know what it is. And the other thing is, there aren't any long-term studies on the effect that these additives or these sweeteners have on our bodies. They don't have long-term studies. And so I believe in, you know, going back to the basics. I believe in trying to eat the most natural, the most basic form of a food. So when we talk about French fries, you know, instead of buying them frozen, how about you cut up a potato and you bake it? You know,
bingo,
cut up a potato,
make
like
it yourself.
Fries, and make it yourself. You know, the same thing with chicken. Instead of buying those extremely, you know, big boneless, skinless chicken breasts, how about you buy a chicken itself, you cut it up, and you bake it yourself, because you're going to get so many different, like you said, additives from these foods. And we didn't prepare these packaged items. We really don't know what's in them except for what's on the ingredient list. And a lot of times we can't even pronounce what's on the ingredient list.
And a lot of times they even lie about that. I was watching, actually it was on television a couple of days ago, I think it was on the news, I was watching a story about with some nonprofit organization that just focuses on food and actually what is in your food. And every year they release their study. So this study talked about tea. Tea was among like one of 50 things that was on this list. But I was amazed to find out that what I always think that I go down in my tea cabinet to get that I'm drinking tea, I think it was only like 40% of what was in that tea bag was the actual herbal tea, but the rest of it was what they consider fillers, like basically grass and, you know, sort of tiny branches, and they just kind of chop it up and put it in there. That really blew my mind, because, of course, we all know about additives and crazy stuff that they stick inside food, but I would have never in my wildest dreams thought that my tea bag, only 40% of what was supposed to be tea was actually tea in that bag that this guy
said. And you have to do your research. You know, if food and nutrition is something that really, you know, motivates you and you get excited about it, you know, I really encourage everyone to do their research. Read labels. And if you're unsure, you know, go to other websites. Look up these ingredients. If there's something on an ingredient list and you can barely pronounce it, Google it. You know, figure out exactly what it is that you're putting in your body. And like I said, you know, trying to eat foods in their most natural form as opposed to the processed items, you know, the things that come convenient to us, you know, that come in the bag and the package and the box, you know, those are going to have so many additives in them because we have to make sure that the food doesn't spoil while it's on the shelf. You know, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason why they put additives in food, but then also for taste and flavor. So, you know, I encourage people to cook at home. I teach cooking classes at Food and Friends. I encourage people to cook at home so that you know exactly what it is that you're putting in your food and how much.
Exactly, yeah. And that way, too, you know, you're able to measure, you know, the appropriate amount that you want in your food, and it's not dictated by a restaurant or, you know, whatever it is. But I and I always give my same little tip, and I'm sure our listeners are tired of hearing me say it, but one thing that really helps me when it comes to nutrition is fruit. And one thing that I always do is instead of when I buy, you know, fruit from the grocery store, instead of bringing it home and just leaving it inside the plastic bag, because honestly, sometimes I would, you know, forget that the fruit was down there because it's always in that sort of pull-out, you know, container at the bottom of everybody's refrigerator.
And
I would always forget. So I decided that I call my fruit display, and it actually works. So whenever I buy fruit, if it's strawberries or whatever it is, I rinse all of it off and clean it, and I actually put it in a glass bowl. So whenever you open the refrigerator, you're always greeted with a big bowl of whatever fruit that I actually had that day. Today, I, you know, peeled and cut up a pineapple downstairs, and I have some strawberries. So I actually find that for me, if I see it, I'm more likely to eat it as opposed to grabbing for a bag of chips or pretzels that I keep. So I just find that if I have it handy, and I always cut carrots and celery sticks up and leave them in the refrigerator next to the hummus. So I feel like if it's already there, then I think you're more likely to grab it and eat it versus if you've got to look for it and, you know, go down there and look in the plastic bag. So I just think if you can actually keep that sort of stuff on the top shelf as opposed to the bottom shelf kind of where it's hidden, I think that's kind of my tip to tell people that you're more than likely to find that you're going to eat more fruit and vegetables if you keep it on the top, the first two shelves, as opposed to stuffing it down the bottom.
No, you make an excellent point, and that's actually advice that I give to many of my clients. You know, if you go ahead and cut it up and you sneeze, you're going to eat it. But then let's reverse it and talk about other food items that are in our houses that we shouldn't be eating. If you don't buy it, then you won't eat it. And so that goes
exactly
for, like, the
right.
cookies and the cakes. And, you know, a lot of people
right.
say, oh, well, I have kids and they like those things, and that's fine. But maybe putting it away somewhere where you can't easily access it. But
yeah.
I totally agree. You know, definitely make fruits and vegetables the focus. I know I grew up in a home where anytime mom cooked dinner, what was the focus? Meat. You know, what meat are we having? We're having hamburger
right.
meat, or we're having turkey, or we're having chicken. But instead, you know, turn the focus to what vegetables are we having? Oh, well, let's try eggplant, let's try cauliflower, let's try Brussels sprouts, and make that the focus, and then everything else is going
to
be a side dish.
To come around that, yeah, now that's a really good tip, because I've never thought about that, because, yeah, whenever I'm making dinner or doing or thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner, I focus on, you know, whether I'm going to have, and I eat mainly chicken and fish, but I focus on the sort of meat and potatoes of it first, and then the vegetables
mm-hmm.
sort of come as an afterthought. So I'm going to try that, to switch my way of thinking and focus on the vegetables, and then figure out what should come after that. That's a good point.
Yeah,
I knew my brother was smart when he told me I should have you on the show. But listen, we're actually out of time, and I feel really bad, because there were about three things that we never even talked about, because we kind of went off script from what we talked about, like good and bad carbs. So if you would be so kind, we're going to be booking some more shows soon. So will you come back and keep the information that we talked about, and maybe you can follow up on some of the other points that we were supposed to talk about?
Absolutely. You just give me a call, and I will be here.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you hanging in there with me, because I know I was sick, and we were kind of going back and forth, but I appreciate it, and I'm so excited to know you. I'm excited that, you know, you're going to become a part of the show. So Michael and I always tell guests that come on At Home with Victoria, and we completely mean it from the bottom of our heart, this is literally always your home. So if you ever have any ideas, or if there's something in your industry or something that's going on in the news that you think, oh, you know what, Victoria and all of her crew, I think they really need to know about that, then you always feel free to email me and say, hey, you may want to think about getting this on the air. This is a good story. So, you know, as much as I like to come to you for information, make it a two-way street and, you know, contact us and our listeners, because it's clear this is your thing. You know, you're committed to this and you like it. So it's clear that, you know, that I know that you follow what goes on in your industry. So
anytime
you want to come back on, whatever it is that you think, you know, information that we need to know, you just let me know and we will get you back on, ma'am.
Well, that sounds so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And I'm going to connect you with Dr. Hancock, because I really want the two of you to get together and have lunch or something. Maybe you can drop by her office and say hi, or maybe she can come down to Food and Friends, because I think you guys can make a really good connection, especially, like, I would like to see you guys do some community service at the different churches and maybe with the
mm-hmm.
kids, and you guys do a couple of, maybe two or three times a year, you can speak together, because it was great the way that she was on, and then you came and piggybacked off of her, you know, with that relationship with nutrition and dental care. So that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. That sounds like a great idea.
Well, wonderful. Well, Vincent, thank you so much for being on tonight, and I'll give my brother a very good report.
All right. Well, thanks, Victoria. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you, sweetie. Although I'm sure I think I told my brother, Jerry, to listen to the show tonight, but that was Janelle Walker, and she is a nutritionist. And just really, really good information, and I hope that all of you were able to get some information from her, as well as Dr. Ivy Hancock, who was on. And I find it amazing, because she said she was shy and nervous, and I couldn't tell at all. But both of them did a wonderful job, and I do believe that we will be hearing more from both of those ladies in the future. Michael Kay is actually inside the chat room. Michael, what is it like being in the chat room and not actually having to be on air? It's sort of like a different feeling, isn't it? But, Michael, I've got a few more seconds, so if you want, it'll be fun if you can call in because the Indy Awards are coming up, and I know we've got all the folks in New York that we have the opportunity that we're going to interview. But Michael is calling in, so I'll let him tell you guys more about that when he calls in because he's kind of researching it, and I don't know all the information, but I know I think I want to say it's mid-February. The Indy Awards are in New York, and I believe this is the third year that At Home with Victoria is going to cover the Indy Awards, and normally that's a big deal for Michael because it's an evening where he gets to be in New York and he gets to hang out with all the stars and the soap stars and the who's who and just has a great time on the red carpet doing all of the interviews as well. So I know he's looking forward to that, so we'll go ahead and get him on the air. Hey, Michael, did you like the conversation tonight? Some good stuff, right, about nutrition.
I absolutely adored it. I love the dental care option very much, too. It was delicious. And, yes, the health and fitness does go hand in hand. It's up to the people to go ahead and do this. You mentioned juicing on the air. I want to go ahead and mention, seriously, I'm juicing carrots, pears, and apples. And, yes, I am doing it in preparation for the Indy Soap Awards in February because I have to lose a little bit of weight to get back in my suit and get all, you know, like camera ready
I think Janelle would, I think she would probably say yeah. But, you know, one thing that I know about you is that wouldn't be all that you would do. I mean, you exercise, and I know you eat fruits and veggies anyway, so I don't think that was necessarily geared towards you. But I know that you have really been interested in juicing since last year, so I'm glad that you decided to do that. So what's on the schedule for the Indy Awards? Because, in fact, we won't be back on the air, so the next time you guys are going to hear from us won't be for about 2 or 3 weeks until we come back from the Indy Awards, Michael.
Well, true, but we have so many people lined up. We have the cast of Steve Silverman's second conquest called The Inn. We may go ahead, and this is a surprise to you, Victoria. We may just go ahead and make an exception for Steve Silverman, have one show about him before he hits Indies,
right.
Because
yeah.
It's going to be
that's
fantastic.
Right.
And then
that's
Divanity
right.
And things like Thurston, meeting up with the Indie Soap Awards guys, is going to be fantastic. And then, you know, with Michael Taylor Gray in New York, as well as us, I mean,
that's right.
How fun
yes.
Will that be?
I know. That is going to be a lot of fun. So will this be our third year that you have covered it or the second?
This will be the third year that I've covered it. This is the fourth year annually. I missed the first year, so this is my third year back there. And it grows exponentially every year. So
now, you had
year,
mentioned to me about the dress, if I'm going to be able to make it up there. So when you started out, it was kind of this sort of casual thing, but I told you I had a feeling that as it got more popular and the word kind of got out, that it was really going to change even in status too.
Well, it turns into a what are you wearing thing because it just, like I said, grows every year. So many soap operas went ahead and were canceled last year that they moved on into the Indie Soap Award genre as guest stars and everything. So there were a lot of soap opera classics that you I'm sorry, some didn't recognize. I didn't recognize them. I didn't do my homework. It was my fault entirely. But these people now are making their comeback through indies. And it is going to be fantastic, Victoria. You're a great person with bling, so you're going to have to put some bling, bling, bling on. And we're going to have
Michael
to do some fun stuff.
Michael was telling me, oh, you've got to look nice and wear this. And, of course, I think I'm going to look nice. And, actually, I need to mention this weekend – I'm glad that you sort of made me think about it. I'm actually emceeing a women's conference in D.C. at the Washington Navy Yard for my sister, and it's an event that she's having. So I'll have some post some pictures and let you guys know how that conference went and what it was all about. But, yeah, we are going to do one more show and focus on Steve Silverman and his new show, The End, and then after that we'll be off the air. So we're going to kind of come back with our big bang with a series of interviews. So not only interviews, Michael, that we're going to do on the air, but you're going to do a lot of video interviews as well, and I want to kind of do a fun sort of video presentation of you doing your interview, sort of a behind the scenes.
Oh, wow.
So I think that will be fun for you to watch. I'm going to put it together. So while you're filming the stars, I will be filming you. So I'm looking forward to that also.
Well, that's going to be fantastic. Plus, a good cameraman, Brad McGraw, is signed up for this. He's going to be filming us. He's got a new light, got a new camera. I have two new wireless mics, and I have some mic flashes that I'm going to surprise you with up in New York. So I'm looking very forward to it.
We have really come of age, haven't we?
We're going to be very polished, you know, look all shiny and stuff.
Is Kelly Whitney going also, do I hear?
I'm really hoping. She's trying to go ahead and make that work for her schedule. Mother of three, you understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a perfect world, we're just going to go ahead and fly by the seat of our pants, so to speak.
Well, as we definitely always do. Well, listen, darling, I appreciate you calling in, so let me find a song to end the show on. This is a really, really good show. I want to thank Mar Bennett, our executive producer, who was with us the chat tonight, and Mike Collup. Mike was funny, Michael, because as we were talking to Dr. Hancock, Mike kept saying, I want to have my teeth whitened. I need to get my teeth whitened. So then he says, do you think insurance will cover it? So Mar's like, I don't think insurance is going to cover it. So Dr. Hancock was like, most of my experience is that insurance does not cover that, so that was kind of funny.
Yeah,
what about Jonathan
Redford?
We haven't played a song of his in a while.
I would love to hear him. He has a great point of view, and he's got really good hair. So thanks a lot for taking my call.
we've got. Let's see. We can do Already Gone or Try to Forget You Tonight. Which one?
Let's do Already Gone, and thank you all, and you know, longtime listener, first time caller.
Yes, exactly. You are such a joke, though.
Listen,
before Michael and I leave, I do, again, want to say thank you to Dr. Ivy Hancock. Google her. You can find her website. She's got an office downtown D.C., one uptown. Also, Janelle Walker, who is a nutritionalist with Food and Friends, but she also does a lot of work and stuff on the side. So if you've got any questions or concerns about nutrition, then, you know, she would be the one. And the good thing, that Michael, that I love about people in different industries when they are on At Home with Victoria. Like, literally, if you have a question, like, these are people that, although they're busy and they're professionals with what they do, you can literally call them on the phone and email them and say, hey, I listen to you on At Home with Victoria. I have a question. And they'll, like, take your call. And I just think that's great.
Well, wouldn't you would take the call. I would take the call, too.
Of course. Yeah,
absolutely.
As long as
what happened.
As long as it's not during Zumba, but.
Zumba. Oh, I've got a good story for Zumba, but I'll save it for next week.
Okay, well, you make sure you remember. So, guys, we're going to be back on the air again with Steve Silverman and Michael. We love you, and let's go ahead and play some music. Which one am I supposed to play again? Already Gone, yeah. Already Gone.
Already
okay,
Gone.
Go.
Good night, everybody.
Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 di da. She walks in the room. She floated by me like a hot air balloon. I slouched and watched. I dared not to get up. On my cold feet, she's already gone. Made it, no, 'cause she's already.
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.